believe that challenge would go to the Wisconsin Circuit Court in the first instance.
Well, wait a minute. You have a filed tariff. Now, you challenged that tariff before the utility.
Yes, I give
you that. That was the commission's decision.
Yes.
We're trying to figure out what the commission does with the filed tariff.
Oh, the commission would have authority, and Mr. Varda can speak more directly to the commission's authority on this. Well, I believe the commission would have authority, as it indicated in its order here, to declare the terms and conditions of a tariff unreasonable.
On what standard? That is, what is the substantive standard in Wisconsin for what the price figure in a tariff has to be?
Well, in fact, because of the nuances of Wisconsin state law, the commission does not have authority to set the rates for this tariff. They're simply divested of that authority.
What is under Wisconsin law?
Unreasonableness in this context would mean, for example, that the terms of the tariff are so unfavorable that they would be prohibited for new entrants.
Too high, the rate is too high, the price is too high?
I think that would be an example.
You just say they can't set rates.
They can set rates within the bounds of reasonableness, Your Honor, and that's what the commission found in its order.
What does that mean?
I think that has to be developed by a consideration of the tariff. Admittedly, it is not a standard like TELRIC pricing.
So what's the federal standard?
The federal standard is something called TELRIC pricing, which means it has to be set at the cost that Ameritech incurs and plus a reasonable profit.
So is it your thought that if a tariff were filed here, you could challenge it in both in state administrative agency and state court, and you could also bring a federal suit?
Probably not simultaneously, Your Honor.
Why do you say, Tom? You don't seem to have any idea what the actual procedures if your position were accepted.
Well, because the reason is, Your Honor, you really have to take a step back to understand the operation of the challenge here. Ameritech will not voluntarily file tariffs. Ameritech's position has always been that they will only file tariffs when ordered to do so.
It's not important to us for these purposes what Ameritech's position is. We're trying to figure out what your position is. That is, how the Wisconsin Public Service Commission thinks its system operates under the view of the Wisconsin Public Service Commission. And then we may be able to figure out whether a system that operates that is consistent with federal law. But first we have to figure out what your view is. And I, at least, am perplexed by the fact that you won't tell us.
Well, I'm not trying to be evasive, Your Honor. Let me try to answer the question.
Well, the commission can either approve or disapprove the tariff based on their view of its reason.
I think that's exactly right, Your Honor. From the perspective,
when is a tariff unreasonable as a matter of Wisconsin law?
Again, my understanding is it would be if the terms and conditions were so prohibitive as to make it unreasonable for a party to be able to enter into that tariff.
You can't say it's unreasonable when it's unreasonable. There must be some other standard. Otherwise, it's circular.
Well, Your Honor, I haven't done the research into the substantive standards of what under Wisconsin law would be unreasonable. Well, Your Honor, I'm coming to
give us the information that enables us to compare your conception of how this system works with the. We understand, I suppose, more or less how the negotiation and arbitration works. But it's very hard to figure out what your alternative is.
Well, our alternative from the perspective of a private carrier, we're not coming at this from the perspective of the commission, is that we go through the negotiation and arbitration process. And in that process, both we and Ameritech are free to account for the existence of these state laws that require tariff filing. If we want to take advantage of those tariffs, we can raise that issue in negotiation. If Ameritech wants to preclude us from taking those tariffs, they can raise that issue in the negotiations. Our point is that it's simply between the parties, it's a matter of negotiation.
If Ameritech, to defeat your position, filed a tariff with an infinite price limit, the question is, what comes next? Is what comes next anything less or more cumbersome than the negotiation plus arbitration?
And Mr. Varda will be in a better position to speak to the procedures that the commission will use, but I believe the commission would review that tariff under its standards for reasonableness.
The only thing the commission has prescribed so far is condemnation.
That's exactly right, Your Honor. The only thing.
Except to Ameritech.
Sure. That's exactly right, Your Honor. And I think that's really the point in some ways of this case, as opposed to the cases that Ameritech's relied on. bypass argument, the idea that you can bypass interconnection negotiations altogether. The commission here made a finding that isn't challenged on appeal, that this tariff cannot be used to bypass the negotiation procedure altogether. The more likely result, as we pointed out in the report,
is it can be. It's a standing offer. The worry, I would think, is that if this offer is just an average price, every rival, every CLEC, is terrible. Whose cost of doing business is higher than the average to make the standing offer. Every CLEC, whose cost of doing business with Paratech is lower than the average, will negotiate. And the resulting total compensation will be less than the cost of service.
But if a CLEC,
that's how this kind of thing, which you keep referring to as a tariff, differs from a normal tariff. Normal tariff is the mandatory price on which everybody does business. What Wisconsin is requiring here is a standing offer. A standing offer gives the CLEC a choice between the standing offer and negotiation. Presumably we'll take whichever one's lowest, which is what raises the chance that we'll end up below average cost of service.
Well, with all due respect, Your Honor, the commission found that its offer didn't allow new entrants to do this, and that finding hasn't been challenged.
Whether that's true depends on what the price in this tariff is going to be and how it's set.
If we had above average costs in our agreement, for example, and our agreement said we can't take from tariffs, we would not be able to bypass that term in our agreement and take from the tariff. We would be bound by the term in our agreement that says we can't get from the tariff. So Ameritech is really free account for the
issue.
Parties frequently negotiate with reference to
the tariffs. Well, let me put the question differently. Does this Wisconsin procedure, well, of course we don't know how this, you can tell us what the tariff rate would be, but doesn't it distort the negotiations between the new entrant and the phone company? Because the phone company, in effect, is forced to put its highest price on the table, and then all the negotiation goes down from there.
Well,
you're not required to put your lowest price, right? Okay.
Well, we hardly ever provide services to Ameritech, Your Honor. We are always buying services.
No, but you're not. You don't get to fix a price, which then they could say, okay, well, that's your price, so that's the price at which we will offer you the service.
Well, we can negotiate for our prices without respect.
But you're not compelled to file a tariff which says you will pay the telephone company X.
No, we're not.
So there's an asymmetry, which this Wisconsin procedure introduces into the bargaining process.
Well, to the extent there's an asymmetry, Your Honor, I think that's apparent in Congress and in the overall goal of the Act to bring local competition. Under no circumstance is Ameritech being allowed.
I understand that. You have the negotiation with arbitration. That's the way in which you get a fair price. So now what you want to do is have this club to hit Ameritech over the head with. The club consisting of the tariff. They file a tariff. You challenge the tariff. You have a federal suit. You have a state suit. And you're of course, hoping to get that tariff down to a level that will give you a better deal than the negotiation, or at least, you know, will strengthen your hand in the negotiation.
But under
what's going on.
But under no circumstance, Your Honor, will the prices be set below Ameritech's cost. Either in this tariff or under the Axtelric pricing scheme, Ameritech will be compensated for its cost plus a reasonable profit, unless they're voluntarily willing to forego that, which I doubt they'd be able to do. They'll get their cost back either way.
Counsel, under the system I gave, suppose there are two CLECs, Procon and Procon. For one of them, America, the cost of doing business is $100. For the other, it's $200. And Wisconsin requires it to file a tariff at average cost, $150. What's going to happen? A high-cost CLEC is going to pick the tariff at $150. A low-cost CLEC is going to negotiate and get through arbitration
any rate, we don't know. That case simply isn't presented.
If Ameritech set as its tariff cost the highest cost of serving any possible sea level, this problem does arise. That's why we keep asking how is this going to play out.
And under the nuances of this order, it simply isn't going to play out as a cost issue. I would simply say that in all respects, neither the tariff nor under the Telrex pricing is Ameritech not going to be compensated for its cost. It will always receive compensation.
How about
for
the commission provides this combination?
Yes.
They have dictated that. Is that a term of the negotiated agreement that they have otherwise Ameritech negotiated and they're deprived of that?
They're not deprived in any way, Your Honor. I mean, and there are.
They can negotiate a different combination.
They're free to negotiate whatever they want, Your Honor. That's exactly right. Unless the court has any further questions, Mr. Varda will take the information. Thank you.
Okay.
May it please the court. I think I may have part of an answer to your questions directed to Mr. Harrington. At page 20 of our decision, we were concerned about the very problem, what if there was an infinity-type pricing? We said compliance with this order for tariffing does require good faith on the part of Ameritech. It cannot post a price or impose terms and conditions so totally unreasonable as to amount to a de facto avoidance of compliance. An unreasonable price, term, or condition is one that is patently obvious to any reasonably well-informed buyer as intended to discourage or prevent the purchase of the service. And then the commission goes on to say, having said that, however, the commission recognizes that in any challenge to a price, term, or condition, the proponent of the challenge, or I'm asserting of challenge, would have a heavy burden to prove Ameritech's non-compliance with this order.
What does this mean?
This means that infinity.
Do something concrete. Take my hypothesis that there are two CLACs, cost of serving one would be 200, cost of serving the other would be 100, and the average cost of serving them both is 150. Ameritech files a tariff at 200. Is that lawful as a matter of Wisconsin law?
Yes, because we do not have jurisdiction over their prices because they are a price-regulated utility, which limits our jurisdiction to basic residential service. This is a wholesale service. We do not have jurisdiction over the price terms and conditions. They could price the service if they wanted at $250.
Then I don't understand your order, which says you can't respond to this by setting an infinite price or a price of $250. That's an assertion of authority to regulate the price.
This is an assertion at that end point where instead of complying with the requirement to have a tariff offering, you de facto price it so high that you really don't intend to sell it. And that example, if you had an automobile.
Well, that's absurd, though, really. Of course, if you set the price high enough, you would be delighted to sell at that price. So what could it possibly mean? They could easily pick a price which is so high that it would clearly provide an inferior alternative to you to the negotiation. It must be that you contemplate either a federal or state challenge to a rate as exorbitant in the sense of much higher than the cost.
We would accept the challenge if somebody were to bring it to say they are not complying with this order. That would be in the form of a motion seeking compliance in front of the commission, and we would determine is this order being complied with, that the tariff offering has in fact been reasonably made. But reserving to Ameritech a huge, huge amount of pricing discretion, it's only, I would say, that last 1% where infinity is being applied.
I don't know why you want it.
Why do you want it, and why do they oppose it?
Tariffing, in this case, provides a means of permitting faster entry for CLEC.
No, it does. Not if they set a price which is very high.
Assuming.
Then you'd be much better off with the negotiation and the arbitration.
Well, we're assuming that Ameritech will act commercially reasonably.
Oh, please.
In terms of...
That's ridiculous.
Well, presumably they'd like to sell more of the product than less.
No, they don't want to sell. Look, you just said they have this huge range of pricing discretion.
To protect recovery of costs.
Now you're changing your line completely. Now you're saying, well, the price has to be related to cost.
Normally, in an economic way, yes.
You
legally
failed to show what is at stake at this in this case.
Well, Your Honor, I believe we're having this tariff offering out there, competitors, if they're particular...
I can't believe you have any goal here other than to tie them up in litigation.
With all due respect, Your Honor, that's not the intent of the commission at all. It is in a pro-competitive situation.
Well, I don't mean the commission. I mean the intent of WorldCom. I don't know what the commission is doing. I don't know what...
When's the last time the commission disapproved a telephone tariff?
Because of the way regulation has changed with our Act 496, we do not disapprove tariffs directly unless they were to be a fully regulated utility. Ameritech is not. It has elected price regulation in September 194, and all the regulation we have is as to basic local exchange service and three access lines or less for business. And those rates are adjusted with annual formulas to measure productivity and service performance. Other than that, the commission is deprived of jurisdiction over new terms, new services, and it is up to Ameritech to price that in a commercially reasonable way. Competitors will discipline their pricing decision. If they're not willing to offer this service in a way that gets their product used, competitors are going to have clearly the incentive to enter, build their own facilities, and take the business away. That's the discipline Act 496, and I believe the Telco Act has been.
But then you don't need a tariff. If they want to provide this service, they'll negotiate.
Well, maybe the effort of the commission is not one that works the best,
really,
but it clearly
the statute. Completely pointless, and you have not explained what the point is.
I believe
you say that Ameritech wants to deal with these companies. Well, if it does, it's going to negotiate a price. And then you have, I don't even see how it's constitutional for you to, you're completely unable actually to articulate the standard used by the commission if the tariff is challenged. You don't say whether it's cost-based or what.
I believe that what we said is a reasonably well-informed buyer would find this discourages the purchase of the service. It would be outside the market
comparison. I've never heard of that as a standard that a government agency could apply. It sounds totally subjective. What would you look to for evidence?
We would look to what competitors are providing that service for in the market, particularly facilities-based competitors may be offering
the
same
thing. The premise of regulation is that Ameritech has no competitors. It's the ILEC.
Well, I see my time is
expired. Well, traditionally, reasonable means reasonably cost-based, doesn't it?
That's what it usually means.
Traditions of public utility law, isn't that right?
Yes, those are in the traditions, but with price regulation,
yeah, I know
evaluation
change,
of costs have been removed.
It's very difficult to define reasonableness in the context of a changing economic environment.
Well, nothing further. I thank you for your time.
Okay, thank you, Mr. Varner. Mr. Dow?
Morning, Your Honor. May it please the Court. I think I'll start with your principal question here. If Ameritech actually thought that we could have any price at all, we certainly wouldn't be here challenging the order. But
now suppose you just set as your tariff cost the highest cost of service that you anticipate in dealing with any current or potential competitive local exchange carrier. Is there any problem? If Wisconsin allows you to do that, do you have any problem?
If Wisconsin allows us to set at the very highest price, so there's no way we could ever be a loser, I don't think we'd have any problem with that. I clearly haven't discussed that with anybody.
Well, what do you anticipate as a problem? Given what they say, it sounds completely empty and that you could do anything you wanted. So what is the concern?
The concern, Your Honor, is that we would set a price, and if the commission thought the price was too high based on the caloric standard or whatever standard it is they're going to apply, they'll cut that price
what
down.
What standard are they going to apply? have they said? I mean, do we know
anything? Well, it says it's unreasonable.
Have they had decisions?
I'm not aware of decisions. All I can say is in the record of this case, we never got that far. But the experience of SBC and Ameritech, which is my client, there's 13 SBC states, there's 5 in the Ameritech region, is not very promising when it comes to state commission review of rates. And there's a whole literature out there about pricing
the
of rates.
State commission review of rates amount to here if you're going to go into a negotiation with these other companies. And the price is what you're going to be negotiating about. So what difference does it make what the state thinks?
Well, if
the negotiation.
Your Honor, if the state permits, if the state requires us to file a tariff, and if that tariff can be a price that's better than the price in our agreement, as Judges Posner and Judge Easterbrook pointed out, that it allows an end run. It allows them basically to pick the better of the two.
How can you? You still have to negotiate. You have to get them to agree to what the price is, it seems to me, if you're going to negotiate.
Well, I think that if the negotiation fails, you go to arbitration. If you go to arbitration, the commission will impose a price.
Commissions can do that anyway, irrespective of the tariff filing. That has nothing to do with the tariff.
Right, but then if you negotiate an agreement, you've got a price in your agreement, and then you've got a tariff provision on the other hand, CLEX can get around the negotiation process by just saying, you know what, I'll take the tariff. They require you to provide two combinations.
Presumably, you're not going to file a tariff which is disadvantageous to yourself in the first place.
Well, we wouldn't file it that way, but I think our experience is that we don't always get what we want with the state commissions, and quite often what we end up getting is a price that we find unfavorable.
I'm confused, though. You're going into a negotiation here with an interconnecting company. So you have to have agreement on price in order to have an agreement, an interconnection agreement. How can the commission overrule that except through the arbitration proceeding, which is provided in the federal statute?
Well, if the commission could, if the tariff were, I'm afraid what your question seems to suggest that the tariff wouldn't have any independent force, and what I'm suggesting is that it
why would it have independent force? You're exactly right. That's
well, the problem is that when you negotiate the agreement's supposed to be the binding terms, okay? Then they come in and say, these are new combinations, they may not even be in your agreement, and you must provide them, and then they'll say,
when are they going to do that?
Pardon me?
When are they going to do all those terms?
Well, essentially they've done that through their order requires us to provide two new combinations that may or may not be in people's interconnection agreements. And that order imposes a binding obligation on us. We have to comply with the order. And eventually
you're positing some sort of a conflict situation. Apparently you're saying that somehow the state can have a regulatory proceeding that will override your agreement. I don't understand how you're going to do that.
Well, it can, and we haven't gotten to the enforcement stage of this, obviously. All we have is an order that says you have to tariff these two new combinations. We never even got to the pricing part of it. But we would submit a price, and that price would be reviewed, and if the commission found that price was unreasonable, they would set a new price. Anybody who, in their interconnection...
You think they're going to set a new price that changes your agreement with the interconnecting?
Well, the problem is that some of the agreements won't address these new combinations. These are new combinations. It's a new obligation that's been placed on it. To the extent that an agreement would actually address that, we would have an argument as to whether that agreement is trumps the tariff. We haven't gotten to that point in this case. But what I'm afraid of...
Well, it seems to me it certainly does. But, I mean, there you have a pretty clear preemption problem.
Right, and I think that's the point of it. But what we've all been discussing.
Well, what is wrong with the commission's theory that if they propose a tariff, some company, you may, surprising everyone apparently on this panel, you might propose a reasonable rate for the tariff. possible. It seems more possible to me, I guess, than just to some others, but. And some company says, oh, that's fine, let's take it, and we don't have to argue about it anymore. We know what the combination is. We know what the price is because apparently it's acceptable to Ameritech because they've already filed it. So why don't we just proceed? Isn't that going to save some time and effort on everybody's part?
Well, the problem, there are two problems, I guess, Your Honor, with that. One is it presumes that we're going to get the price that's acceptable to us, and that's not necessarily the case.
I'm giving you a hypothetical where the interconnecting company accepted it, said that's fine, those are good terms. Let's go ahead.
Well, then that begs the question, I suppose, as to why you'd even bother with the tariff regime. If you can reach the agreement by negotiation and everybody's fine with what you come up with in negotiation, and that's the process that Congress set out, then why would you bother with it? It seems to me the tariff regime can only create mischief.
Well,
if everybody agrees,
if the other party accepts your opening offer.
But what would the difference between a tariff and the agreement then, as in the negotiation?
Wouldn't be any. It seems to me the whole purpose here is to shorten up the process a little bit or make it a little easier.
Well, and that brings back, I guess, to the point that we are all discussing in the briefs. The Act actually has a provision, 252I, that shortens up the process. Essentially, when one group goes through and they get their agreement approved, then any other group can come along and pick off terms out of that agreement or pick off the whole agreement if they want to. So the Act actually provides for a shortening. I guess my point is, in the preamble...
The Commission is the arbitrator, isn't it? The State Commission?
Yes.
So what's to prevent them in the arbitration process from, you know, introducing this tariff requirement by the back door?
Well, they can introduce it in that. They can introduce a.
They have the whip hand over you.
I'm begging your pardon.
Don't they have the whip hand over you?
Well, they do, except that we have the review for consistency.
That has nothing to do with a tariff, though. I mean, whether you have a tariff or you don't have a tariff, they're still going to arbitrate your agreement.
Well, that's exactly right, and they have
to
approve it. And
the arbitration that seems appropriate, whether had you file a tariff or not file a tariff.
Well, I guess our point is that yes, the Commission has power in the approval process. It's laid out in 252 to impose consistent state regulation, and that's all fine and good. And if everybody agrees on what the price ought to be, or even what the parameters of the price ought to be, then that's fine. It all gets taken care of there. My problem with the tariff is the tariff creates a possibility of mischief. It won't always lead to mischief, but it creates a possibility of mischief. And that's why I think it makes sense to construe the statute.
Is that a test that can be applied in a preemption to the possibility of mischief? Is that it?
Well, I do think in the
standard for preemption.
Well, the preemption we're talking about is a procedural preemption here, Your Honor, and I do think that it makes sense to view Section 252 of the Act as creating a unitary structure through which interconnection obligations.
Is it the tariff that you're bothered about? What is this order? This order for new combinations. What's that?
New combinations are. It all relates to unbundled network elements. It's essentially the parts of our network that we have to share.
What is a combination?
A combination. Well, I guess the whole telephone network has various elements, and a combination is when you have to provide, let's say, a loop and a switch. And the UniPlatform is the entire network, essentially, from...
Well, are you challenging the Commission's authority to order combinations? Is that part of your...
We did that, and then the Supreme Court's Verizon decision came out, and it gutted our old theory, so we raised a new theory, which Judge Crabb said there was no case or controversy yet. Now, when you go... What's recently happened with UniCombinations is a big mess as well, because the D.C. Circuit struck down the Uni remand order, which sort of set a lot of the rules about the unbundled network elements. And the FCC then went back to the drawing board in what's called the triennial review order, and a couple weeks ago, or a month ago maybe, they issued a press release saying, the order's coming soon, but here's the broad parameters of it. So that order will come out soon, I guess. And when it comes out, I'm sure it'll be challenged in the D.C. Circuit because it looks like there's going to be a 3-2 split in the Commission, and it's a big mess. But ultimately, I'm confident that there will be another basis for challenging the underlying substance of the order. But at this point, it's up in the air because of what's going on in the FCC and the D.C. Circuit. I think the order will be out soon.
Well, if they can't order new combinations, whatever that is. Can they still order, or are they still claiming authority to require filing of tariffs?
I can't imagine they could do it in this case because this case only involves those two combinations. Now, whether there's another case where they'll try to impose a tariff, I don't know. But at this point, we are still, we Ameritech are still under an obligation to provide these combinations by tariff, and that's the basis of our complaint that everything's unlawful. There may come a day where we want to challenge the substance, and I suppose if the substance is gone, the procedure's gone too. Does that make sense?
Now the Sixth and the Tenth Circuits have said as long as the interconnection, there is an interconnection agreement in effect, which recognizes tariffs, then tariffs are okay, but they're not okay if they come before the interconnection agreement.
Well, what the Sixth and the Tenth have said is that if you've got an agreement that has an opt-in provision in it, then they'll enforce your right to opt into the tariff, and that's an entirely different situation because that, in that case, you're actually using the Section 252 process to impose a tariff requirement. This, the difference between that case and this case is that the tariff requirement's being imposed outside the 252 process, and I think the Tenth Circuit case is a question whether you can, the Commission can impose the tariff, which they did in that case. The FCC order that we cite in our brief, the Virginia preemption order.
What does imposing the tariff really mean here? Isn't that what we're arguing? What? We seem to have all agreed that you can have a tariff and then you can negotiate all about it, start from scratch, as if you didn't have a tariff. So what's being imposed here?
Well, I guess what's being imposed is the requirement that you provide a service or a service at a price.
Well, that's the price isn't imposed. The price is yours to propose.
Well, in the first instance, it's ours to propose, and then there will be some fight about whether that price is one that can be withstood under the whatever the test is.
Well, how are you going to get to that test if we're having a negotiated interconnection agreement going on?
I beg your pardon, Your
Honor? I say, how is the Commission ever get to this so-called regulatory phase unless there's an interconnection agreement followed by arbitration?
Well, I don't think they do get to the process is commenced by negotiation, and then if you can negotiate all your terms, then that's fine, and there are certain standards that the Commission...
Why isn't that correct? I mean, why isn't that what's going to happen here?
Because it does happen, but this tariff is totally outside that process, and this tariff...
You haven't told me what the tariff means outside.
Well, what the tariff means outside the process is whatever obligations we entered into by the 252 process, that's one set of obligations.
I think you're saying that WorldCom can, or whatever this company is, can waive the negotiation process and go directly to tariff and say that's what we want.
Or anyone to whom the tariff applies, and this
right.
is a tariff of general applicability to anybody.
Now, and what is the specific mischief of this that this bypassing does to you?
Well, the mischief is that it creates an agreement. It creates an obligation through a process that's totally different than the process that we have to negotiate and to arbitrate
but
and to go...
It's your terms. That's the problem here, it seems to me. You're proposing what the price is. You're proposing all the terms except the combination.
But the problem is
why are you unhappy with it after you proposed it?
Because the terms get away from us. We can't if the tariff said Ameritech, you can have whatever terms you want, and those are going to be the terms of on which interconnection will be provided because it's your network and it's your choice. And if they don't like it, then they can build their own network. If that's what it said, then we wouldn't be here. But that's not what it says, and that's not what happens in practice.
But the way Mr. Varda explained his commission's nebulous standard, what is the actual what is the actual problem? You would set a very high price, and that would shunt people back into the negotiation.
Mm-hmm.
And then he comes along with his, you know, nebulous test of so unreasonable that you're actually trying to discourage business and. So what is it just some procedural rigmarole you don't like, or do you actually anticipate they're forcing you to go to provide services at prices that they said, that the commission said?
We anticipate, based on our experience in state commissions, that we will get a price that we don't like if the state commission...
Well, why then is this dispute ripe for review? if everything turns on your anticipations about what the pricing process will be, why doesn't review logically wait till you see whether those anticipations come true?
Well, we think that the dispute is ripe because we're under an obligation right now to provide these combinations.
You can file the tariff with a price that is your starting asking price in negotiations. And if the state won't take that, then it seems to me you might have a dispute that's ripe. But if the state takes that and says that's fine, I don't understand what your beef could be.
Well,
I don't understand what we could be litigating about, and therefore I'm puzzled by why we have a case for controversy.
Well, the problem is that the commission has imposed an obligation on us, and we believe that under federal law they have no right to impose an obligation on us outside of the Section 252 process, and that's a right that's provided in the Act, and that's why there's a case for controversy. I think it's really a procedural question, and that's why we're all...
Isn't the point that we don't know at this point that you're injured by whatever the state did?
Well, we're at least injured for purposes of Article 3.
You suspect them of all kinds of things, but you don't have to adopt your suspicions, really.
Having to go through the tariff process at all at least is some injury to us. Now, I'll admit it's a lot bigger injury if the price ends up being lower, and it's a negligible injury probably if the price ends up being whatever we want it to be. But we think just starting down the process is likely to lead us to a price that they're not going to say anything you want, Ameritech. I'm sure of that. I guess if there are no further questions.
Okay, thank you, Mr. Dow. Well, Mr. Harrington, your time ran out, but if you'd like a minute to rebut, you may have it.
Thank you very much, Your Honor. Let me try, Judge Easterbrook, to answer your hypothetical where Ameritech's cost of serving one new entrant is $200 and the other new entrant is $100, and so the price would be, their cost, average cost is $150. Under that scenario, the price, what I call the TELRIC pricing, which wasn't briefed, the price would already account for that. The TELRIC pricing would be $150. When Ameritech files this tariff, it can set the price. If the commission orders it to set the price under $150, it's going to have a pretty good challenge that it's being required to provide service under cost. But under the commission's order, they can set that tariff above $150, subject to what you've described as the nebulous range of reasonableness. But in either respect, they're not going to have to provide this service at under $150 in cost, and they will be compensated for the cost of all respects.
They're not going to provide the service under $150, even to the entrant, who would cost only $100 to serve?
Because that's right, Your Honor, because the TELRIC pricing is based on their overall... These TELRIC pricing dockets are typically done across the board. They're not done entrant by entrant.
Well,
they're typically done across the state.
Or always.
I am unaware of any case in which a TELRIC docket has been done entrant by entrant. They are entitled to recover their costs plus a reasonable profit. And so under no scenario are they not going to be compensated for their costs plus a reasonable profit. The Act demands that they be compensated for that.
Okay, thank you very much. Thank you to all parties.